Well, good afternoon. That's the first time I've introduced by saying good afternoon. So, y'all have been my first. Unfortunately, I'm not the first redhead that's stood behind this pulpit. So, you know, can't feel special in that regard. But I do consider it a great honor to be allowed to stand before y'all this afternoon and try to present a portion of the Word of God and feed our Lord's sheep. It is a privilege, but it is such a weighty thing. It's nothing to be taken lightly, and it's nothing that I take lightly. But with that said, I've got a thought on my mind, a passage of Scripture that we all should be very familiar with. I want y'all to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I may, because there's a couple of thoughts on my mind, and for the sake of time, I will likely just read a few verses out of chapter 1 and then wrap up with a few verses that it leads into in chapter 2, because the first couple of chapters of Ephesians, well, the whole book of Ephesians obviously is linked together, but there's a thought progression that that the Spirit, by the pen of Paul, is presenting here in these first couple of chapters regarding our salvation. And something that I didn't notice until recently, and I've been preaching a lot or exhorting a lot about the gospel back at my home church at Antioch, and something I didn't notice right, and it's right there, but I didn't notice it, because we always use Ephesians 1 when we defend the doctrine of election, do we not? But the gospel's in Ephesians 1.
Amen.
Yep. The gospel's right there. And dare I say that without election, without the doctrine of election, you don't have the gospel, because it's the gospel of what? It's the gospel of grace. And in the 11th chapter of Romans, grace is paired with election and juxtaposed to works. If you're not preaching election, you're preaching works. And that's why I love to be among our people, because I know that grace will be preached. But we'll start in verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I want to stop right there for a second. Excuse me. Had a lot of lunch. Which was great, by the way, to all the cooks. It was wonderful. Last night and today. So here we see, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's probably in y'all's articles of faith. It's in most Primitive Baptist churches' articles of faith. It's almost, when we proclaim the doctrine of election, we almost quote that verbatim. So I don't think I have to elaborate on that too deeply. God chose us before the foundation of the world. Pretty plain and simple.
Yeah.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, he chose us for something. To be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. That's beautiful, is it not?
Amen.
He chose us to save us. You see, this is ultimately the eternal salvation that we're going to experience in glory. And we stand before him today blameless because of the work of Christ and the imputed righteousness of Christ. And I'm going to get to that. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. You see, we were adopted into the elect family of God. That's a phrase we use a lot. And we were adopted into his family. According to our free will. No, that's not what that says. According to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I'm not the first old Baptist to say this. I certainly won't be the last, but I think it's well said. You know, there's a lot of churches out there that call themselves free will so-and-so church. Well, I wouldn't mind being called a he-will church. I wouldn't mind being called a he-will Baptist.
That's right.
Because it's his will. It's by his will.
Amen.
Now we get to the part that I want to bring out the plain teaching of the gospel in. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
Not anywhere in Scripture will you find admonition to accept Jesus Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, dear friends. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, whether you accept Him or not.
Amen.
He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Word that liveth and abideth forever. He's the one that we shall all see standing at the latter day. And isn't it a joyous thing to know that Jesus is Lord and Savior?
Amen.
That's shouting grounds, as Brother Paul would say. But he made us, his children, his people, his elect, accepted.
Yeah.
He made us accepted.
Amen.
By his work. I quote it often, and I still manage to misquote it most of the time. But in Romans 5, it says, "For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and by the obedience of one, many made righteous."
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's right.
The obedience of one. That's Jesus alone.
That's right.
Christ alone. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. His work on the cross. The gospel. The gospel itself, as Brother Paul talked about last night, how the gospel itself is the news.
Yes.
It is actually what Jesus did. Not merely the proclamation of it. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Only by the perfect, sinless Son of God, the shedding of his blood, could any sins be forgiven.
Yeah, that's right.
And how thankful we ought to be for that today. So here we have this picture here of course, the clearest portion of Scripture teaching election, but also a very clear connection with the gospel. They're intertwined. Let's move down to chapter 2. And the reason I want to cover this is because another thought that kind of plays hand in hand with this that I've had on my mind is something I used to hear Sonny Piles say a lot. Still do. I listen to a lot of his sermons recorded. And a lot of respect for that brother. But he was asked one time on a radio show, and y'all probably have all heard him tell this story if you listen to him. What's the difference between Primitive Baptists and everybody else? And he said, what most people make the cause of spiritual life, we say is the effects of spiritual life. And here's how I want to tie this into what I just read. Because I want y'all to understand something. And I believe you do. I believe we do. But it bears repeating. I love hearing the good news over and over again. You can't hear enough of the good news.
That's right.
If God didn't choose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, we, a fallen people, the sons of Adam, at enmity with God, would not have chosen Christ.
That's right. That's true.
Cause and effect. We love him because
he first loved us.
Amen.
That's right.
We love him because he first loved us. So in chapter 2, and I'm just going to skim over this real quick. Hopefully I don't want to take away from the value of the Word of God. I mean, I encourage all y'all to study Ephesians chapters 1 and 2 and the whole book, but particularly 1 and 2 has almost makes you think that Paul was an old Baptist. doesn't it?
You think?
I think so. I think so. That's pretty primitive,
yeah.
First century. So verse 1, and you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sins.
Right.
Then he goes on to explain, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He goes on to elaborate on how we functioned as dead alien sinners before we were touched by the grace of God. You see, the born-again child of God has two natures. We have the old man that we're told to put to death, or to put away the old man, excuse me.
Right.
And we have the spirit, the new man.
Yeah.
That born-again soul. But you see, the wicked and even the child of God prior to being born again only has one nature, the nature of the flesh. So Paul is just explaining here the condition that we were in and how we were no different than others. In fact, he says that in verse 3, among whom we also had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We're no better than anybody else. The only thing that separates the saved from the wicked is grace. Is grace. I was talking. I'll chase this rabbit quickly. But I was talking to brother Josh Winslet while we were having lunch, and I mentioned something that I like to quote often back at my home church, and I'm sure somebody else has said it before me, but it just was a thought that popped into my head a while ago, and I say it quite a bit. Anything we get less than eternal hell is more than we deserve.
Yes, sir.
So when you find yourself sick or afflicted or in bad circumstances, remind yourself, this is still more than I deserve.
Yeah.
That's it, brother. That's it. Now, this is, in my opinion, one of the greatest verses, not only one of the greatest verses in Scripture, but one of the greatest phrases you can see in Scripture, because it changes everything. This next line, when you see it in Scripture, dear friends, when you see these two little words in Scripture, I'm getting excited now. When you see these two little words in Scripture, the page is going to turn. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a greatness. There's going to be something happening. What's it say? But God.
That's right.
See, the bad news came first. But God.
Yeah, that's right.
See, God can turn it around, dear friends. He can take a man that had papers on his way to kill Christians, to persecute Christians. He can turn that man's life around. He can take a man that was being crucified justly on a cross next to the Lord, who was at one time reviling the Lord and spitting out cursings against him, and he can change that man.
Yeah, that's right.
And he can take this old country boy from West Tennessee that once hated God, that once hated church, that didn't want nothing to do with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he can turn him around.
Yeah, that's right.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me tell you why election and the obvious consequence of believing in election, sovereign grace, salvation by sovereign grace. Let me tell you why these doctrines should bring us comfort and why it brings me comfort. Because it takes me out of the equation.
Yeah.
You see, I've talked to some of y'all over this weekend. Some of y'all know I was raised Southern Baptist. And there was a time in my life when I struggled with thinking, what if I didn't do enough? What if I didn't say the sinner's prayer right? What if I'm really not saved? What if it's all just in my mind? But then the Lord started giving me little bits of information from His Word. And the more I read in here, the more I saw that it was of God.
Yeah, amen.
That it was all of God. And when we believe in the sovereign grace of God, it takes us out of the equation.
That's right.
I didn't do enough.
Right.
Yeah.
I can stand before you today and say, I didn't say the prayer right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I can stand before you today and say, I didn't repent hard enough. I can stand before you today and say, I didn't believe hard enough. I can stand before you today and say, I'm not faithful enough to get myself into heaven. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you about a God that is faithful enough to get His people into heaven.
Amen.
The faithfulness of Christ. Now, that's a whole other topic, and that'll preach. So I'm not going to chase that rabbit. Let's move down. Back to talking about cause and effect. The cause is election. The means was the gospel, was the actual, what Jesus did, the death, burial, and resurrection. Let's look at the effect. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So what's the gift of God here? Grace, salvation, or faith?
Yes.
That's exactly what I was going to say, brother. Yes, all of them. Because look at this next word, this next phrase. And that not of yourselves. You see, earlier in this chapter, I'll quote it briefly, or early in the first chapter, in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. You see, we believe according to the working of His mighty power.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why faith is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why, you know, we often say, and rightfully so, that if you preach that you have to exercise faith in order to be eternally saved, you're preaching works, and that is true. When people define faith the way they do, you see, when you define faith biblically, which is the gift of God, as we see here, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, a fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, excuse me, the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. When you define faith biblically, again, it takes us out of the equation because it's something God does. But most people don't see faith that way. But I'll move past that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And I want to get this real quick. Lest any man should boast, because faith is not of ourselves, we can't boast and say, I'm saved because I believed. I'm saved because God. But God. But God. Now let's get to the effect. For we are, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Dear friends, I want to leave you with this morning, and I think it plays in a little bit to kingdom principles. God didn't save us so we could warm a pew once a week. God didn't save us to sit here and be idle.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of good works that we need to do, and like Elder Sonny Piles said all the time, what people make the cause of spiritual life is not the cause, but the effect. So baptism, communion, giving offerings, giving your time, doing unto others, whatever good work the Lord has impressed upon you to do. Now, there's things we're commanded to do. Like I said, baptism, we're commanded to be baptized. Joining the church, loving your neighbor, loving God, those are all commandments. But there's things that God impresses upon our hearts. God didn't save us to sit idle. He saved us to be a peculiar people.
Yeah.
We are a peculiar people, and that was something else that was on my mind, so I better shut up before I preach that too. But I'll leave you with that. Good works, no matter how you define good works, are never the cause of eternal life, never the cause of spiritual life, of vital salvation. But they're the effects of it.
Yeah.
And we should constantly offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service.
Amen.
I pray this has been a blessing to you, and I pray that y'all would continue to pray for this meeting. It has been a blessed meeting. And as I was asked, I will offer our opening public prayer. Y'all bow. Most kind, gracious, and heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank Thee for all Thy many blessings that Thou hast given unto me and unto us as Thy people. We thank Thee, Lord, for blessing this meeting, and we ask for Thy continual blessing upon it. We ask, Lord, that Thou would speak through Brother Paul as he comes and delivers our message, our final message for this weekend. Lord, also allow our hearts and our ears to be attentive to what Thy Spirit would saith unto the church. Let us take it with gladness and continually obey Thy word. Forgive us now, Lord, where we fall short of Thee, and renew and restore us. We thank Thee, Lord, most of all, for that redemption which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, our successful Savior. And it is in His holy and most precious and high name we pray. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Stand and sing. Number 66, would you like to stand while we sing?
And the man of God rest.